Welcome to Edge of Wonder, where we have our esteemed guest, Zach Voorhees, Google Whistleblower, with us today. Thanks for being with us, Zach.
Yeah, how you doing, Zach?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good. Great. We're all in Florida, right?
We're all in Florida. I'm in North Florida. You guys are in Miami.
Miami. That's right. Yeah. So Rob is in town right now, and we're filming some episodes for Edge of Wonder. So you guys are going to be ecstatic about these new episodes coming out. So
they're going to be good. And we've got a lot to talk about today with everything going on with Elon Musk buying Twitter, deep state's freaking out. It's great. And then there's a lot of talks about what's going on with Truth Social, with Twitter, how this is going to affect things long term. We're going to get into all of that on today's episode.
Yeah, and also have a little discussion later about all these plants that are on fire. I mean, the food processing plants and everything else too. So with Zach Voorhees. So it's great having you here.
Welcome Elon back. Musk, dude, how can we talk about anything before Elon Musk and all the amazing things that he's doing right now in the social media space? What do you guys think about the announcement that he's going to buy all of Twitter?
I honestly think it's really cool. I really do. You know, I know there's people in the community that are kind of like, it's like, what, would you rather have Saudi Arabia controlling Twitter? I mean, actually, in this whole thing really made me think about Jack differently. You know, he started Twitter. It was a private company. It went public. Before it went public, Saudi Arabia came in and bought shares before it was even public. After all of this, I started wondering, was he being forced out? Did they buy him out? They're like, dude, we need your platform. We're pushing you out. Here's $1 billion, you know? And maybe at the time he was like, yeah, great. And then he realized later, like, whoa, this is a massive weapon that can be used against the people that he created. But what do you think, bro?
Well, the funniest thing I've heard so far is all of these misinformed people on Twitter that are freaking out over a billionaire owning Twitter when it was a cluster of billionaires owning it before who were all nefarious globalists. And now it's just one guy who's actually cares about freedom of speech, or is at least claiming to, which claiming is still to. A big improvement over, you know, saying anything that upset someone or could offend someone and getting kicked off. I mean, those things contradict one another. And it's just been really funny to watch how weird people are. I don't know what to call that.
Have you guys seen the board of directors and how much stock that they held in Twitter?
Yeah.
It was almost zero. Like, the only exception was Jack Dorsey, who had 3%. But then you look at the rest of the board members and some of them had like 0.001%. And I'm like, are you kidding? How did people without any stock get a hold of, you know, this board of directors seat? And what I found out is that it looks like there's been a lot of plots and a lot of coups. And what they've done is they picked off the actual, you know, stockholders and replaced it with themselves. And now you had people that had no interest in the company that were actually running it. And I thought that that was, you know, nefarious. And especially one of the board members I recognized by the name of Fei-Fei Li. Have you heard about this? You know,
no,
about her?
I've heard that name before.
Oh, go into it.
Mm-hmm. So she was with Google before, and she was one of the proponents of artificial intelligence and saying that when it comes to AI, Google had neither boundaries nor borders, which was a big problem because, you know, they've got offices in China. And China, yes, that person right there, Fei-Fei Li. So she's actually on the board. I couldn't believe it. Like, what are the chances that this person who was instrumental in the cloud AI and is this Chinese national is also on Facebook board of directors as nearly a non-stock holder? And what's really interesting about this is, you know, Jeff Bezos came out with this tweet questioning whether Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter was going to feed into the CCP's hands, you know,
yes,
foreign intelligence.
I did see that.
And it's just like, if anything, he's actually clearing out the influence and putting someone that's, you know, America first, clearly, and loves, you know, the First Amendment more than half of actual Americans, which is blowing my mind.
Well, exactly. Like, here's a guy who's run and operated and innovated in the only country left to do that in. And he's trying, in a way, trying to protect it from actually some of these other globalists like Jeff Bezos on screen right now, from taking over everything and from us not having a voice, where there is no marketplace of ideas right now. You know, they don't want a marketplace of ideas. They want a marketplace of MSM. And, you know, this is the opposite of that. It's pushing all of these plans back, essentially. You know, personally, I don't know what's going to go down. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of people like, is this a white hat move or a black hat move? Blah, blah, blah. You know, they're trying to put all of these scenarios in there. But I think that this is just much more complicated than any of that. I think this is a wrench in the gears. And regardless of whether you think Elon is a good guy or a bad guy, if you look at what the mainstream media is doing, which is attack, that essentially means that it's not a part of whatever plan that they had moving forward to do things. Sure. In my mind, you know, sometimes it might not be, but you can usually tell when they're trying to control the narrative, but they're just full on attacking.
Well, the other aspect is Jeff Bezos. So if he's saying something, if he's like, this is not good, then it's like,
it's probably good.
Maybe there's something else going on there. But, you know, one of the things that's people are criticizing on Twitter and the fact checkers are ignoring it is everyone was like, look, you know, what happened, you know, when everyone was like, hey, all it takes is $6 billion to end world hunger. And then Elon was like, sure, I'll sell my stock right now. And I think it was the World Economic Forum that responded, and they were like, hey, you know, we'll work with you and figure things out. And Elon's like, yeah, make everything public. And then they came out with a plan. And so what's going on Twitter and a lot of the left, people on the left are saying like, look, you know, Elon doesn't care. He had his chance. Here's the World Economic Forum, or I think it was the World Economic Forum. Here's their plan that they came out with, and Elon ignored it, and they called his bluff. And it's like, no, actually, it's the other way around. Elon called their bluff. And I was like, what they're not reporting on is that Elon said that anyone can come up with a plan. Yeah, okay, here's my plan. But Elon's like, once I give you the money, I want everything to be open source accounting. I want to see every dollar is going to, where that dollar is going to, how it's being helped, you know, with fighting world hunger and all these things. And that's what they didn't want to show.
Oh, no. They can't show that. They can't let the public see how the sausage is made.
Because it's like, yeah, $10 of it will go over world hunger, you know, $1,000 in my pocket, or maybe like $1 million in my pocket. So that's why, yeah, anyway. And so I'm like, no, you know, the fact checking is just ignoring this fact. And it's like, dude, you guys, can't you just see what's
going on? Well, it's funny because like the blue Twitter check marks are all on Twitter right now saying all that money can be used to fund.
Then you why know, isn't Bill Gates longer. Doing that?
Yeah, I know.
And he's funding vaccines.
And what no one's talking about.
And mechanical mosquitoes and bees.
Well, and then on the other aspect, and Zach, you actually posted this too. No one's talking about Bill Gates buying up all the farmland. It's like everyone's like, oh, Elon's buying Twitter. And it's like, well, what about all the farmland that the CCP and Bill Gates are buying?
Also, doesn't anyone think that it's a little bit strange that Jeff Bezos would come out and talk about how that's weird when that guy literally owns shopping? He's a billionaire in charge of the entire shopping industrial complex. And then you've got Elon, who's in charge of making rockets. You know, he's the CEO of a gigantic, innovative rocket company and the Boring Company and, you know, a number of other things that he's been involved with. And then they're like, oh, this is a bad idea. Well, is it any worse than you, Jeff Bezos, controlling Amazon? I don't think so. It's like he's just trying to make things fair. Also, one of the funniest things I saw was this tweet by a guy named Jim Fela. And he said, Elon Musk is buying Twitter and everyone freaking out drives a Tesla. There's never been a dumber time to be alive.
right?
Like, this is the environment that we're in. You know, like, these are the people that, like, they've been cheering Elon on and making all of this electric drive, like all of the electric driving cars. And now they're against the same guy that's trying to buy like a social media platform. Like, something doesn't make sense here.
Yeah, I know. Right. And you see that exchange between Elon Musk and Bill Gates, where Bill Yes. Gates reached out via text and said, "Hey, Elon, do you want to, you know, donate to my philanthropy?" And Elon was like, "Hey, Bill Gates, you know, what do you still have that open short position of $500 million? And Bill Gates was like, "Yeah, sorry, I'm still shorting your company." And he's just like, "Well, F off." I mean, he didn't actually say F off, but that was essentially what he did, because, you know, Elon's doing more to solve global warming than any of these virtue signaling globalists that are out there saying that, oh, we need to like have this, you know, this fund, and we need to like, you know, spend all this money and have carbon credits. Elon's not telling us to do any of that. He's just going out there and fixing it. Yes. And that tweet as well, calling him out, you know, he's got such disdain for Bill Gates. And it's really interesting because we're seeing this happen right now where a lot of people, I feel, are siding with Elon because of the enemies that he keeps. And I want to ask you, who else did that in 2016? Right? Trump had a bunch of enemies. And what I see right now is that we're coming up with the same pattern where Elon was originally loved by the media. They called him the next Einstein, you know, when he did the SpaceX thing and they were like dismantling NASA. And now he's the big pariah, right? The media has switched on him. They've turned on him. But if you look at the details, it's like, it doesn't seem like, you know, this international group of globalists has really actually turned their back, because look who funded the buyout offer for Twitter. It was JP Morgan, right? And you saw the same thing with Trump, right? Like, the media hated him, but who bailed him out of his Atlantis properties? It was the Rothschilds, George Soros, and a bunch of globalists. And so, you know, there's this question of what is Elon really up to? And before this happened, it was funny because people kept on asking, "What do you think about Elon? What do you think about Elon?" I said, "I think that Elon has a huge role to play. They're setting him up just exactly like they set up Trump. And they're setting him up to be the counterpoint in the dialectic." And boom, 1 week later, Elon ends up buying Twitter with JP Morgan. And no one's stopping him. Like, really? Like, what about all the other billionaires? Like, what about Jeff Bezos? Like, or Bill Gates? They couldn't get together and scrounge up like a counteroffer, like, "Hey, we're going to do $50 billion for Twitter," right? Like, no one stopped. The DNC didn't even launch an investigation of antitrust, right? They could, like, even if it could have been frivolous, they could have said, "Well, Elon Musk, he's going to do Twitter and he owns Tesla. Could there be some antitrust there? Let's launch an investigation and slow this down." They haven't said a peep about the whole thing.
Yeah, that is weird.
It is super weird. All of it is. And like, why do you think that is? Like, what do you think is really going on here? Especially, like, you know, then you're bringing in the SEC as well.
Well, the SEC,
right,
went on full attack as soon as he mentioned that he wanted to buy Twitter, right? It was like full on investigation. Probably their enforcement office, you know, basically just went straight on starting to review every single thing that Elon did. I mean, this is very similar to Trump, like trying to find a problem with Trump and his taxes and all of that stuff through all of these things. I mean, you know, could he be being blackmailed into doing all of these things? I mean, anything is a possibility, right? However, it'd be very, like, this guy lives in the middle of Texas in like a $50,000 house. Elon, he doesn't care. He doesn't seem like he cares.
He probably spends half his time on Mars.
Yeah, no, I mean, who knows? Even if he's not there physically. I mean,
he's like tweeting on Mars.
Trip posting
right now.
From Mars, right?
I just purchased Twitter from Mars. But the thing is like this guy seems to be of a different cut in a similar way that Trump is among the elite. And I also want to point out that the way that the world is constructed, money still controls a lot of things. Like a big point is that money still does make the world go round. I mean, CNN Plus wouldn't have crashed if that wasn't the case. They would have kept it going or done something else, you know? And the only way to make some of these deals is to deal with the big banks. And the big banks are owned by those globalists. And they're not necessarily going to shut anything down if it's a deal for them in a certain way. So none of this stuff is ever that simple. I think we always, humans, we always try to like simplify these things in our mind, good or evil. But it's by nature like it's a big complicated mess. And I think what Elon is showing us is that, you know, good old fashioned, in a way it could be, that good old fashioned business still really does mean something. And it can take a piece of the cake and slow things down if done in the right way and with the right types of pressure in place. The other thing I want to point out is between the Elon Musks and Bill Gates, and in terms of like how much they make in all of this, you know, the top 3%, top 1%, there's a lot of rich people between us and them. And what Elon is doing right now is inspiring all of these investors with millions of dollars to do something and encouraging them to come out and become disruptors. And they've all been waiting for this. Those Hollywood actors are waiting to come out. A lot of them don't agree with what's going on.
That's not true, actually.
And so I think it's very easy to say, oh, Elon could be a bad guy and all of this stuff, and he's disrupting things. But when you look at what kind of domino this is actually causing to fall here, it opens your mind to a lot of different things that are going on. And I don't think it's that simple.
It's funny. There's this saying that no one wants to be first. Everyone wants to be first to be second. And
that's really true in Twitter too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the name of the game on Twitter.
Yeah. That's actually kind of funny.
Everyone always wants to be first, and that's when they make their mistakes. Really?
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Really... Yeah. The first one always. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, you're our guest, Dan.
I actually forgot what I was going to say. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's really fascinating because Elon has been tweeting these kinds of things. Like there's something about, you know, like why aren't we encouraging more young people to get into doing more like entrepreneurship stuff, like, you know, starting their own business and all these things. And instead, it's like our system is designed to kind of keep people from doing that and just be part of the system instead of like, you know, doing their own thing to use the system. And like there was something that Elon was promoting specifically, and I can't remember what it was, but it was like, you know, if I was like getting into business for the first time, these are some of the things that I would, you know, check out. So, you know, I it's like, you know, we're not taught in school really how to do these kinds of things, like really how to be successful on our own. You know, you can go to college and have like a business degree and all these different things, but it's like, you know, it'd be so much better if like in high school you're like, here, we're going to give you the tools that you need to go out there and actually succeed. But instead it's like they want us to go to college. It's so easy to get a student loan, but it's so hard to get a loan for a business.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And business is getting harder and harder and harder to make, you know, to be able to turn a profit. You guys have been actually really good at being able to like do that. I know that most people that attempt to do business failed. Like I've had failed businesses. Like, okay, so I made my money back, but I wasn't like super wealthy from it. And I had to do that. And the only way that I could have done that is because, you know, I know how to do computers. And it's like, I can't imagine anyone out there that is able to do a business without knowing computers like really, really well. And I think that what's happening is that like, they're sort of starting to prepare us to be sort of like slaves, you know, like they're gonna have like, hey, it's like be as compliant as possible so that you fall in line. And they're trying to crush the entrepreneurial spirit in many different ways. Like anyone that tries to like my roommate is like a 1099. She's getting audited by the IRS, right? Like she doesn't make a lot of money. And it's like these giant corporations, they don't get audited, you know? And it's just like, if you're small and you're a business, the IRS has been weaponized against you. I mean, even David Hogg, did you see that tweet that David Hogg did?
Yes.
Yes.
He's like, why is it so hard to start a business?
Yeah.
What is it? What is it that he said exactly? We should pull those tweets out.
Yeah, Lindsay will find it. Before we do, we're going to have we're going to do a trailer right now, and then we'll get those tweets up, and we'll come back showing David Hogg.
All right. We'll be right back.
So we'll be right back, guys.
Art ape. Art human hybrid. Cyborgs and Terminator technology already existing. Sentient robots becoming indistinguishable from people. No, it's not the plot of the newest Matrix movie. This is our reality, a transhumanist one. How does transcending humanism tie into eugenics, Darwinism, and even cloning? Is there any part of our world that transhumanism hasn't touched? Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
All right, that's our transhumanism series only on Rise.tv. Our first episode of that published on Rumble last week went pretty well, actually. You guys should check that out if you get a chance.
Excellent trailer, by the way. How do you get those voiceovers, by the way? Oh, is there like a Fiverr or something?
You got a guy.
You got a guy who's a fan.
His name is Radio Face. He rocks.
What a name.
Yeah, great name.
Cool. David Hogg, look at this.
Hear me out. This is just speculation, but I think the value Musk might see in Twitter is using the data to build out a better way, better natural language processing for the first prototype of his humanoid robot. An even halfway decent general AI would make back that $40 billion and then some. Interesting.
But this isn't the one that we were talking about.
This is not the one, but this is very interesting.
But this is all, this is criticizing on Elon Musk, though. I mean, we are a little bit all concerned about, you know, the AI aspect of it. Obviously I am really concerned about the chips in our heads.
Which other billionaire has gone on live television talking about the dangers of AI and crying? Elon Musk, only guy. I mean,
that is true.
Is he a good actor? Could be, but like, that's still kind of like, he's worried.
Man, I think he should have won an award for that Joe Rogan interview. he was like smoking. He's like, I tried to warn them. I tried to warn the AI, but they wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't listen to me. Now it's too late. Yeah. Right? And it was just Rogan. That Joe Rogan thing. Was that an act? Like, is this a movie?
No, I mean, he went really hard for a few years, really talking about the dangers of AI. And by the time it got around to that interview on Joe Rogan, he was like, there's nothing I can do to stop it. I mean, he was talking about taking a step back and just like letting things go the way that they go, because there was not much more that he could do.
Yeah. And now he's building the robots. So I guess if he can't beat them, join them.
Well, that actually is his point, though, and that's the thing. Like, I don't agree with this in the way that I don't agree with, you know, Trump supporting vaccines the way that he does, or talking about them the way that he does. You know, that's just my opinion. But with Elon, I think his idea is like, technology is a freight train that can't be stopped. And if it can't be stopped, then we put things in place that could potentially help rather than to destroy. And maybe that's where, you know, none of us really agree with that, essentially just because it's a scary world to think about AI taking over us. But the fact of the matter is, if there isn't someone in there to control that, we're screwed way faster.
Look, if we're not going to do it, the CCP is going to do it. And they have way less ethics than we do. And so people need to understand that it's not about, like, when we were the hegemon, when we were the number one undisputed champion in the world, then it's time for, hey, let's slow this down. But the problem is that the CCP has no brakes. It's a one-party system. It's going to go all the way in, and it knows that this has military applications. This is a force of nature right now. We have to unlock Pandora's box, because all the other Pandora's boxes, whoever unlocks it first gets first mover advantage. Ask the samurai soldiers what they thought about guns, right? It's like, ooh, this is a dangerous precedent.
Actually, the samurais used guns. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, No, they did.
They were like, it was a more efficient way of killing. I researched this for a while.
Interesting. Yeah. But there was a lot of people that were against it.
Well, there's like tons of people with guns. There's fewer samurais with guns. It's just going to get taken out, you know?
Yeah, right.
But to your point, Zach, you know, it's like, you can look at 5G was the same way, right? Like, China was building their 5G with Huawei, and instead of like using that, Trump was like, okay, we're going to push 5G. And everyone's like, why are you pushing 5G? This is not good, you know? And it really became a big uproar in this whole community. But it was like, in reality, it was just because, well, if the US doesn't roll it out, China's going to come with Huawei and take it over. And it's like, well, would you rather like have us doing it and controlling it? Or do you want China to come in and take over and control it? So I think
I just want to hold up a sandwich one day and have it microwave and then eat it. I think that would be really cool, right?
Oh my God! Yeah, the 5G though—it's really really concerning.
No, the thing we have going for us more than anything else is that China can't build anything. They're the worst builders in the entire planet right now, largely because of the CCP culture. But they steal every single piece of intellectual property on the planet. So they have it all. And they can put smart people in place to do things, keep screwing up, and then eventually succeed. But to your point, like, it's the biggest danger on the planet right now, is that there's a lack of utter lack of morals with the CCP, and they could do anything.
Right. And they're going to go head first into this AI. They have a huge manufacturing base. Their design sucks, but they're going to figure that out. They've got 1.4 billion people. So, you know, even if they only have, you know, 30% of the intellectuals on a per capita basis, they've just got so many people that I think that they can, you know, make up for that. And another problem is that, look, Russia's got a lot of oil and raw materials. China's got a lot of industrial capacity. We're now forcing them into an alliance. And when that alliance comes together and gets fully fleshed out, you're going to have a very powerful organization on the planet that's got most of the industrial base of the planet
and
located in its borders.
And all the minerals. Yeah.
Yep.
Potentially.
And so when I look at this AI, it's like, I see it as a force of nature. I think I see it coming through, and that we're going to have no choice but to go forward. And what's interesting is there was this tweet that I saw saying that the debate in Europe right now is whether the United States is, like, you know, 10 years ahead on AI than Europe, or whether it's China is slightly ahead of them, right? Like, apparently the United States and China is neck and neck on this AI research, and Europe's like, they haven't even like gotten off the starting line. And to make up for this, Europe is like, well, we'll become the number one in regulating artificial intelligence. And it's like if someone was like, oh, we're going to make cars, and Europe's like, oh, we're going to be the number one in making stop signs and traffic lights. It's like, I'm sorry, that's not how you build like an industry. You're going to have to get on the chain.
Lame industry, Germany.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys are letting us down. Funny. We're building rockets and you're still trying to build a car.
Right. Exactly. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Lindsay found that tweet with David Hogg. So we can show that.
Hoggy Hogg.
Yeah. I'm working on setting up an LLC right now, and this whole process is stupidly complicated and expensive. The government should maybe make it easy for people to start companies, not hard. Also, there shouldn't be this many regulations and paperwork to cross state lines. So, I mean, he's actually right. Like, I do agree with him in this case, you know? And it's like, yeah, this is what we've all been saying for so long. And it's like, can you guys wake up to all of this that's happening?
See, he doesn't even get it. Like, he's still at the LLC stage. Wait till he applies for any sort of regulation as an LLC, and then all the other government agencies that he doesn't even know exist are going to find out about him, and they're going to start sending him paperwork and say, pay us or we're going to start, you know, taking your assets. You know, it's like California and San Francisco, the city wants to know how much assets that your company has so they can tax you on as a wealth tax every single year. Can you believe that? Like,
yeah, New York City is the same way too.
Why? I don't understand why anyone's even still in California. There's so many people sticking to, I get it, it's beautiful there, but come
on. They're all dumbasses, including myself. I'm still trying to get out, and I still haven't figured it out. People ask me why. I'm like, because I'm a moron and I love pain, apparently. So.
Just move, man. Really?
Well, it's hard if your whole life is there, if you've been there. Move your whole life.
Move your whole life somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. In fact, that's a great segue. Guys, help me move my life to Florida by supporting the best place for news on the internet 24/7 at blast.video. I spent the last nine months of my life not moving to Florida, but at hard at work in San Francisco to make you the best place for news on the internet. You can find your favorite channels like Edge of Wonder, Next News Network, NTD, Fox News, OAN. So many people, I found them all. And if I haven't, let me know in my Reddit board. And if you like this place and you think that it's the best place for news on the internet 24/7, then throw a penny in the chip jar. Go to blast.video/support or hit that heart icon in the top right there, and you can see the Give, Send, Go. And that's going to help me build this out, get it bigger. And also get the heck out of California into where I belong. Nice, sunny Florida.
Florida's great, man. Everyone should be moving here. it's cool. It's a good place. I feel really comfortable here. And what's
Florida's a good place, and blast.video is a good place. So make sure you go there.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So we're talking about AI, and then, you know, Elon Musk, like, what do you think is going to happen next? Like, he's got this Twitter. Twitter's having a meltdown.
Here's the thing. We lost everything last year. We lost our YouTube channel. I lost my 70,000 follower Twitter account. We lost our 60,000 follower Edge of Wonder account. I want to know, like, are you guys going to provide a form or something for me to apply to get my Twitter back? I want it back.
I have noticed, like, I'm on Twitter, and I have noticed there's people saying, hey, I have my old account back. Like, this is my old account, you know, and they still have some followers there.
My account got taken over by some weird guy.
And our on Edge of Wonder account got, like, completely removed. But my personal account is still there. I think because I logged in I'm still logged. Like, I've always been logged into it. But it just says like zero followers, zero people following me, and I can't do anything with it. You know, it's like I can't even delete. I actually want to delete some of the posts on there, and it won't even let me do that. So it's just like, you know, you can't do anything with this account, but it's there. So it would be nice, just to get these account back. But what do you think this is something that could happen? Like,
I think everyone's going to come back. I think that there's going to be a mini reset at Twitter. Everyone's going to get their account back, and everyone's going to celebrate. And then if you act like an asshole, then maybe you'll get suspended or banned again. I think that, you know, look, we're not going to see the end of moderation. Moderation's here to stay. We need it, because you don't want to see bad stuff when you go to Twitter, like not free speech stuff, like obscene stuff.
Yeah. And
so the question is, who moderates that moderation? And I think that what's going to happen is I see this trend going on right now, which is a democratization of the moderation. So pushing it to the people themselves, you know, for like if a bunch of people hit report on the same person, then, you know, that thing could be set up to automatically be removed and then reviewed by a human. I think that, you know, there's a lot of very interesting technological challenges of how you do AI governance. How do you have an AI that takes down posts automatically? And how do you make sure that the marketplace of ideas is still allowed to exist? And one of the things that I think is, and I've been saying this for a long time, but we need to have censorship for artificial intelligence.
Amen. That's pretty funny, actually.
And it's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to get. It's a wave right now. It's coming in. And the problem is, you know, right now we have these lefties on Twitter. They'll say something horrible, you know, and they'll just get all these upvotes over and over and over again. And it's very obvious that there's a Twitter swarm that's coming in. Elon's like, we're going to get rid of the bots. We're going to verify all humans. And what is the mainstream media doing right now? They're freaking out. They're going and they're saying, no, don't get rid of the bots. That's going to be a threat to free speech. Yeah, right? It's like that saying, like, make every vote count. You know, they mean like, you know, they don't say like legal votes or whatever. They say like all votes count. Twitter wants to have this, the group wants to be able to have their Twitter bots so that they can control the narrative. Look at this, Elizabeth Warren. This deal is dangerous for our democracy.
You're dangerous for our democracy, Elizabeth Warren.
Yep. So now they want to do like a wealth tax to hold them accountable. And now
I'm watching the video yesterday of Elizabeth Warren just wanting to open up the gates of the US to any old person who wants to come in from anywhere without any rules revolve around.
They should just let them do that at the White House. Why don't they just open the gates?
I think we should just let people go on to into Elizabeth Warren's home.
Right. That's where they'll be distributing free iPhones and voter registration forms.
And Pocahontas outfits.
Removing Twitter bots. This is a
So the Musk Twitter press release states that the company will authenticate, quote, all humans. I'm not sure what this means, but there is at least a chance that it could compromise users' ability to be anonymous. And this thread, I explained some concerns for this possibility. You know, it's all mental gymnastics, right? Like they need these Twitter bots, just like they need the fake votes in order to keep their power. And if we see a cleaning of all these bots, then, you know, the narrative is going to change. And people already are saying that the narrative is starting to change. It seems that some censorship is coming off, but I don't know whether that's actually like legitimately like changes that are already happening in the company or people saying, you know what, I am going to like that tweet because now I'm not afraid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think more likely than not, there's been some kind of release on the throttling system that they had in place in their algorithm. You know, these Twitter employees, which I think somewhere Elon was saying he just wanted to fire everyone if he bought it, because it was like, I think they're so lazy and in their own little world over there that.
Well, he wanted to force people to come back to work in the office, and they didn't want to do that.
Yeah, like these are reasonable things. It's, you know, getting an environment where people are actually doing work and getting paid fairly and all of those are reasonable business things. I mean, Elon Musk is known for like sleeping on people's couches when something, you know, crazy is going on, and he just has to work all the time on the clock to meet deadline. You know, like that's his work ethic. This guy endures a lot. They don't even understand is against the law.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's 8,000 employees working at Twitter, and I've got a lot of respect for everyone that keeps the product working and humming along. But my question is, what are the other 7,950 people doing?
Amen. No, really.
Are they the bots?
No, like this is actually really important, is that why are there 7,000? Think about what Twitter does, really. Like, it's not that complicated. Like, you might, if I had a capable team of like 10 or 15 developers, I believe that we could put all of this together like easily.
That's crazy to think about.
It's like once you get the right people in the right place, it really wouldn't take that many people to operate this entire thing. When we're talking about powerful servers, setting up that the right way. We're talking about making sure.
Yeah, but you can outsource all that. You just throw into Amazon infrastructure services, and then it's just like you don't need the people now.
It's like there's so many things like that doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. Like one of these bills running through Congress that cost trillions of dollars don't make sense. You don't know where the money is going, because it's like if I had my own team doing something that these specific bills or whatever it is, like it would be a fraction of the cost. So it's a great point about how many employees they have and what they're actually doing. Like, how about some transparency here? You know, you're censoring people. What are you doing? Where's the money going? Who's pocketing what?
Well, it's funny because people think that these employees are actually doing something, but there's this famous ICANN speech, the Carl ICANN, you know, this guy, he's like, he comes in and he fires a bunch of people. That's what he's known for. And he's got this amazing speech. I've watched it probably four times now. It's about 12 minutes long. And he talks about how he bought this railway and there was this building, 12 floors, and it was filled with these people and no one had any idea what they were actually doing. And when he started to investigate, they're like, oh, this stuff we're doing, it's really arcane. You wouldn't understand, da, da, da. And so he couldn't understand what they did. And then he like talked to the CEO, and over drinks, the CEO's like, I'm going to tell you something, but you don't have the balls to do what I'm going to tell you. You need to go down tomorrow and fire everyone. Everyone. Everyone needs to be fired and let go. And then he's like, there's no way that this guy is actually serious. And so he hired this firm to come in and investigate what it was that 12 floors of people are doing. And so they were like, it's going to be $250,000, which was, you know, a lot back then. And they came back and they had like all these documents. And he's like, look, I can't look at all this. Just write down on a yellow piece of paper what it is that they do. And they said, Carl, we have no idea what they do. And so he like the next day he came in and he just fired them all to all 12 floors, sold the lease. And surprisingly, no one complained. No one like sent like angry letters. They're all given like, you know, usually when can you fire someone, like a whole department, there's like, oh, you ruined my life, da, 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 da. But they all knew that their jobs were ridiculous, that they were just wasting money. And so I think that what has happened is the 8,000 employees are a symptom of Twitter's gross mismanagement, right? Management at the top, it's all political. You know, they're trying to get a bunch of, you know, colored haired SJWs into the company. And what they've created at this point is a momentum in the company that orients its way towards leftism. And, you know, now, like,
just side question, why do all of those leftist liberals with hair color, why is their hair always purple? Why does it always have to be like that purplish pink color?
How about before we get into the answer to that, we play some awesome trailers.
Thank you, Lindsay. And we'll come back to pink and purple hair.
And if you're having any lag issues on Rise TV, please refresh your browser.
All right, roll it.
Are video games just a fun way to pass the time? Is The Matrix just a movie? The origins of video games go much deeper than anyone ever thought. But what kind of AI future is it all leading to? They say everyone is wired differently. Is that literal? Who's really behind video games and the internet? And what happens when we all plug in, but we stop being able to unplug? Join Edge of Wonder as we uncover the truth behind our video games in Plugged In, The Gaming Industrial Complex, Part 1. Video games, an escape from reality. But what if that was the whole point? How have video games been used to push a transhumanist agenda? Just how close are we to merging technology with human bodies? Cyborgs,
Nanotechnology. Altered DNA. Determinate was never just fiction. Join Edge of Wonder as we reveal the shocking truth behind it all in Wired Up, the Gaming Industrial Complex, Part 2, only on Edge of Wonder.tv.
EdgeofWonder.tv, also known as Rise.tv. We had to rebrand after last year's fiasco, but you can find us in both places still.
You can.
All right, so back to the purple hair question. Why do you think they always have purple hair? I don't get this.
I don't know. I've been trying to figure this out. Like, what's the obsession? I think that, because I also see a lot of green too, like the green, okay, purple, and blue.
But the green hair, I've come back to, they're possessed by the Joker.
Green hair. Now, granted, there are, like, you know, people on like the truther side of things, that, because a lot of them used to be on, okay, the other side, and
but
then
you have noticed that a bunch of the liberals, yes, have that purplish pink,
yeah,
hair, right?
Yeah,
it's not just me.
And they have that specific kind of hairstyle too, where they usually like shave one side of the head.
But I think it's a way of signaling to each other, right? Like with the whole, like, MAGA hat.
You and me, yeah, we believe the same thing, yeah.
It's like when they put pronouns in front, you can totally tell exactly what their alignment is, right? It's like, it's weird. It's like, I feel like in the last 4 years, it's been like the decade of doxing yourself. Like, you just go and you're just like, oh, I'm like, I vote for Biden. I've got hair that's colored. I've got pronouns. And I think that we should give kids hormones, and I'll totally destroy your company if you bring me on. Like, that's what it screams. It's like, do exactly what the mainstream media says, or I'm going to find a reason to just destroy the company from within.
Yes. Yes. There's a really funny comment here, but from Famalam Nick, it says, I have had purple hair for over 4 years. It allows me to infiltrate the enemy.
God bless you.
That's awesome.
God bless you indeed.
That's so cool. That's pretty funny.
Wonder if he's living in San Francisco or New York.
Zach, I kind of want to, still on the topic of Twitter. So there was a tweet that you were that you retweeted, and you were talking about this, the algorithm is what's being talked about right now. Can you explain this? And I guess Elon made a comment that he wants this to be open source, and yeah, everyone is freaking out about this. What does this really mean? And what is the weight that this carries?
Right. So GitHub saw, well, the Twitter account on GitHub saw a new repository being created, which was called The Algorithm. And people were like, oh my gosh, this is the algorithm that, you know, Elon Musk is going to talk about. It turned out it was probably actually just SJW shenanigans that were, you know, dropping this on there. And shortly after that happened, all of the code at Twitter got locked.
Whoa. No way.
Yeah, they're on lockdown right now. I don't know if you guys know about that, but it looked like, I mean, this is one of the things that I was predicting, because I was like, okay, so Elon may be able to buy the company, but even if he does that, what's he going to do with all the purple haired SJW coders that are going to sabotage him?
Fire him
on their way out. They have to all be fired at this point, because he's not going to be able to trust many of them, or at least purge the worst ones. But it looks like this was a piece of sabotage. Maybe they were about to release what the Twitter algorithm was going to be, which I would hope that they do that, because look, this Twitter algorithm is probably got a lot of surprises in it. It's probably,
yeah, dude, there's like there is code surprise in there all over the place. I mean, who knows? Like, and I mean, it's probably on the verge of being criminal, and that's why they're trying to protect it and lock it down so hard. I don't think, when you listen to what these people are complaining about, it looks hardcore. Just like the 12-story warehouse that you were talking about, merged with trying to protect themselves from people seeing what they put into this code surprise.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're not really sure what the intention of this thing is. We just know that, you know, it wasn't Elon Musk trying to open source his algorithm yet. But let's talk about that open source algorithm. Like, what does open source even mean? in software. So open source has been probably one of the strongest industrial trends we've ever seen in the history of mankind. Why? Because software runs everything. What does all the software run on? Well, in the past, it was all proprietary, but then, you know, the internet and social media came along, you know, and basically took this concept of open source, which was a movement out of like Berkeley and these liberal arts colleges where a lot of this computer science was being taught. And what it basically was a bunch of academics got together and released their source code for the Unix operating system, for another operating system called BSD. And it basically serves as the foundation to run all these other services on. There was an individual by the name of Richard Stallman from RMS who came up with an even more radical extremist view, which actually turned out to be right on the money, which was called GPL. And it was a viral free software license where if you plugged into a GPL piece of code, then your code also became GPL by its, you know, legalese. And so what we have now today is we've got all of this code that runs the internet and it's free. And if someone comes out and makes, you know, hey, this is our new software service and you have to pay for it, they pretty much have like a few years before someone will back engineer it and make a free version of it and just give it away. And what this does is this creates, like, no one can actually compete with open source software anymore at a sufficient degree. It's really hard because once it goes open source, then everyone can look at it. People can fix bugs and even like bugs that happen on really obscure cases, like you're running on this system and you have like a certain graphics card. Oh, I crashed. What is it? The person will go in, they'll figure it out and they'll submit a patch that fixes it. And this is amazing. Like open source software is so good. And so what Elon wants to do is he wants to take this, you know, proprietary censorship ranking algorithm. He wants to rip it out. He wants to put the important parts in the open domain so that we can all see it. And if there's someone being censored, then, you know, you're going to be able to look at this open source piece of code. And you're going to be like, okay, this is the line right here that's responsible for this person being censored. Delete. And yeah, it's going to be great.
You know, if you can do it. Line.
What?
Yeah, I just say we'll just delete that line, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Not censored anymore. So I mean, and this is so I'm suspecting this is what's kind of running the you know, they're obviously controlling what's trending on Twitter too, you know, because right away I see some crazy things on Twitter, and there's certain hashtags that, like, for example, I was looking under false flags and there was so much there, went back 2 hours later and it was like nothing. It was like, well, there was like a handful of tweets, that was it.
Half of the country is hashtagging stuff like Clinton body count in every tweet. How like they're controlling that.
That's
obviously because there would have been, like, think about it, during last year between November and January, how many people were talking about what was going on and none of it was showing up on Twitter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Appropriately.
You could use hashtag deep state and you'll see like one tweet.
It wasn't even a fair, it wasn't even a fair fight. They were just told what to do. They did it. They suppressed the entire thing and destroyed freedom.
Only one person appears when you type in Clinton body count right now.
One person.
What?
Only one person appears right now when you type in
when
hashtag
was that tweet
body
made?
Count.
April 25th. Yesterday.
Yep. That is so
obviously no one's tweeting about it. It must not be very important.
No, and think about how many tweets over the last 4 years, 5 years, 6 years that have been up there and none of them are showing up.
Right.
The other aspect is like, you know, the media is making it out to be like the extreme right. And it's like, actually, this isn't about left and right. Like, When you're really kind of following these things, it's like everybody, if they're on social media, everybody is into at least one conspiracy out there. You know, I mean, this is like a question when I just kind of meet random people and they're asking me what I do. Usually I ask them back, like, is there one conspiracy out there would you say you're interested in? And 99% of the time I get 9/11. just, you know, it doesn't matter what side they're on, what they believe in. It's just like, you know, 9/11 is really weird to me, you know? So it's like everybody has something. And so when things start being suppressed online, it kind of makes you more curious. And so both sides are now looking into different aspects. And honestly, I don't really think anyone on either side really likes Clinton right now anyway. So, you know, that's
they're going to throw her under the bus. The whole globalist cartel, they're killing her and the Bush dynasty together. And I think that this Durham thing is going to be, I'm actually
just
kind of hopeful.
Saw that. Yeah. So what happened today was that the Durham, it wasn't Hillary that was called in, but some of her staff members were subpoenaed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's report. All through. Yeah, but you guys got to look into the details on this.
I don't know.
There isn't much going on. It's they have had. Think about how much they've had, and the fact that all of this is just being run through the Sussman tape. It could be way more.
Hey, I want to throw in something about Clinton. Okay, Julian Assange is getting extradited back to the United States.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Now, one of my advisors has informed me that the fact that Julian Assange actually is getting extradited is directly related to the ongoing trial. Well, actually, now it's completed, of Ghislaine Maxwell.
Really?
Now, have you noticed that all of the expectations about what was going to happen with Ghislaine Maxwell kind of turned out to be wrong? Like, look, I thought she was going to end up dead. Right. Like, I thought it was going to be like Ghislaine didn't kill herself, but that turned out not to happen. She's still alive. She lost all of her appeals. And I was always like, what's going on here? Well, I think, and I've been told, that Julian Assange and Ghislaine Maxwell are going to be traded in a spy swap. And the whole Epstein thing was designed to decouple the United States from the UK and their blackmail ring. And we want Julian Assange and they want Ghislaine Maxwell to stop talking. And so what we're going to do is, I believe, and look out for this, when Julian Assange comes back to the United States, Ghislaine Maxwell is going to go back to the UK.
And what will that accomplish?
Well, Julian Assange has a lot of information. I think that they're going to have his court case. They're going to bring it to the United States. And essentially what he's going to do is he's going to release a lot of his intelligence on the deep state. And I think that a lot of this, I think that Hillary Clinton is being set up for a massive scapegoat operation. And that, I have to go into this. It's called the rug pull theory. The rug pull theory, Chris Dodd went on InfoWars and said this, and I've been looking it up. Basically what it is that all the villains that we see right now, they're almost fantastically evil. It's like Klaus Schwab is a Bond villain. Like you couldn't make him more evil than what he is right now. And the question is, why is he so freaking evil? And why is Bill Gates so freaking evil, right? Like they don't even try to stop you from, you know, making fun of these guys. And what I am starting to suspect, and has been actually a very predictive model, is that the globalists, in order to truly unify the entire world, what they've done is that they've created obvious bad guys. They've let everyone know that these people are the bad guys and that they're trying to kill humanity.
That is true.
And what's going to happen is that Julian Assange has information related to the criminal activities of this whole entire cabal. And that what's going to happen is the rug's being pulled out, starting right now, the rug's being pulled out from all of them. And when the Julian Assange stuff hits, I believe that Twitter will be fully intact and won't be censored, so that we'll hear all of the dirty laundry and all the bad things that the UK and specifically the City of London have done to the United States and to the rest of the world. And what's going to happen is that the world's going to unite in order to scapegoat these individuals, and that the people that will lead that that counter movement, that revolution, will actually be the globalists themselves revolutionizing against themselves, and that essentially the New World Order will come, but we'll have a positive historical narrative of which to carry ourselves forward into the 22nd century and beyond. That's what I believe.
That's very fascinating, Zach.
Speaking of the 22nd century and beyond, we have a transhumanism trailer to play, and you can actually watch that now for free on Rumble and share with your friends and family. Episode one is up now.
Okay, so we're going to watch
now.
We're gonna roll a trailer right now, and then we're going to come back with Zach after that for our last half hour on Rise.TV. So you guys don't go anywhere and come over to Rise TV for the last half hour with us, where we're going to have take a bunch of questions from the audience.
And more on this topic as well.
Yeah, we're going to dig into this a lot more.
Yeah,
for sure.
In this series, from Edge of Wonder, we dive into neural nets, sentient robots, gene editing technology, smart implants, programmable monkeys, evolution, and social manipulation. Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
And welcome back to Edge of Wonder on Rise TV. And with us is Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower. Thank you so much for being with us again.